This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting and our qiyam. The verses regarding the questions on the hour were repeated so often in the Quran. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساه يسألك الناس عن الساعة. They ask you, O Muhammad, when is the hour? And the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم immediately would refrain from answering in the positive that he does not know when the hour is. وفي حديث جبريل عليه السلام, when he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a form of a man, and he asked him the three questions: what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan. The last question he asked him, when is the hour? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. The one who is being asked doesn't know any better than the one who is asking. So the knowledge of when this world will end was hidden from any human being, to the extent that we believe that there is an angel called Israfil alayhi salam, who is holding something known to be the book, similar to the trumpet, but of course complete different size. He's holding that trumpet, that book, in his mouth, and he is looking at the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not blink. He does not blink. Waiting all the time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell him now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, كيف أنعم وقد التقم صاحب القرن القرن وأحنى جبهته وأصغى سمعه ينتظر متى يؤمر بالنفخ في الصور. How can I enjoy this life when the bearer of the trumpet is holding the trumpet in his mouth, and waiting to be commanded to blow in it, which would signify the end of the universe. So again, I'm establishing the fact that no one knows when this world will end. Yani sometimes we end up with these gurus who write these books, the world is going to end on that day, and in that day. I believe 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, we got that, I think some sort of Chinese, that the world was supposed to end on the 22nd of December, right? You remember that? December 22nd, I think 2013. Sahih? Correct? Yeah. And amazing, so that you got some Muslims actually emailing you and asking you, Sheikh, what should I do? The world is going to end, you know. What should I do? And I read some interesting things that a lot of the people sold their properties, and some also some weird people offered a good package, you know, a cruise in somewhere in an ocean somewhere to enjoy the final days of this world. Imagine this, you know. So, shuf, a Muslim doesn't do this because he knows that the knowledge of the hour is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no human being has that knowledge. Jibreel alayhi salam, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him that the one who is being asked doesn't know any better than the one who is asking, then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question, Dullani, or tell me about its signs. So we are not to worry ourselves with when the hour is, but we should study the indications, what is known to be the portents of the hour. There are things which, if you see unfolding, that means the hour is near. This world is about to finish. The scholars categorize these signs, and today I just want to give you a map to it. I'm not going to go in details. They said they are minor signs and major signs. Minor signs, which will lead to the major signs. They divided the minor signs into three types. Minor signs which already happened and finished. Minor signs which happened and still happening, but in a greater magnitude. And I'll give you example of this. And minor signs which did not happen yet. So we said, overall, there are two types of signs for the hour, minor and major. Let's leave the major now. They divided the minors into three types. Minor that happened and finished, happened in the past and finished. Minor which happened and still happening as we speak, but in a greater scale. And minor which did not happen yet. Let's take an example of the first one. Minor which happened, the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fact that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Bu'ithtu ana was-sa'atu kahatayn." Am a sign of the hour. His death is the sign of the hour. Another sign, the plague of Amwas. There was a plague that happened in the greater Syria, which actually the year 25 after Hijrah, during the reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, epidemic that actually killed almost 20,000 companions. They died. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah died. Mu'adh ibn Jabal died. And others. واستفاضه المال and the conquest of the Muslims taking over Jerusalem during the reign of who? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, when the Christians refused to hand over the keys but to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So these are signs which happened and finished. Now, the signs which happened, but yet they are still progressing on a greater scale. I'm just giving you an example. The scholars actually listed somewhere 60, 50. Usury, the spread of usury, riba. The what they call interest now. That somebody give you money and in return he receives an increase. Adultery. Look at adultery now. People make movies. Adultery, the spirit of adultery. Killing. See, every day the paper boy brings, you know, numbers of people killed. Earthquakes. Cheating, the spread of writing the paper. Rasul mentioned actually that there will be a lot of writing, and so forth. Basically, corruption and so much corruption. Now there are signs which did not happen yet. Yet they fall into the rank of the minor signs. And the scholars, they say only two are left. Only two of them are left. One of them actually, a lot of the scholars, they did not categorize it to be a minor sign. They actually given it a very unique name. They said it's a transitional sign. Why transitional sign? Because it will move the world from the minor to the major. And this is the Imam of the Muslims, Al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi, they given him the leader the Muslims are waiting for, to lead the Muslims, unite the Muslims, and basically bring back justice into earth again and so forth. They call this a transitional sign because when Al-Mahdi appears, that means the Antichrist will come. That means Prophet Isa will descend. That means Gog and Magog will break through the wall. So he was actually the trigger for this. But here is the last sign, which has not happened yet. And a lot of the people, by the way, when the Iraq war took place, they assumed that this is the sign. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Euphrates will disclose a mountain of gold that people will fight over it and they will kill one another. Now a lot of the people said, oh, you know, this is the black oil, the black gold, the oil, so this is the gold, this is what is meant by it. They are fighting for the oil really, and this is the gold. But we don't deal with the text like that. The Prophet ﷺ said, gold. We don't take a text, a word, from its apparent meaning to a hidden meaning without an evidence. And that's how Muslims deal with their text. We don't do ta'wil, just I must have an evidence to take a word from its apparent meaning. If this is a watch, خلاص, it's a watch. Unless I have an evidence that says, no, this is a ship. خلاص, then I do have a text. But as long as there is no text, I have to look at it as a watch. طيب. Let's go over al-Mahdi quickly. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that time will come when somebody from my family, his name matches my name, his father name matches my father name, he will come and will fill earth with justice after it has been filled with injustice. طبعا, we do have Muslims who refuse or actually deny such a text. They say, come on, Sheikh. You know. And we do have Muslims who are not doing nothing and waiting for Al-Mahdi to come back. You see, it's in between really. Especially the Muslims who are so desperate, seeing the Muslims being hammered right and left, attacked right and left. So, you know, he's waiting for, to the extent that some of them actually want to make it happen, and he claims, how many people claimed Al-Mahdi? A lot of people. They actually claimed, they said, I'm Al-Mahdi. I'll never forget this day. I was in Maryland, in a masjid in Maryland, and I had two brothers coming into my office. I was an imam there. So this is how they introduced themselves. This is Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi, and I'm Jesus Christ. I looked at them and said, what about me? What about me? You know, it's like, it's amazing. It's, by the way, think positive about these brothers, because when we read about al-Mahdi, Muslims will be in good shape. Muslims will be united. They will be conquering, actually. So they just wanted this to happen. And they look at the condition of the Muslims. So they want to rush this. They wanted to... you see something about al-Mahdi, he doesn't know himself. He's somebody actually whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide in a night. And he is not supposed to ask for it. If you read actually all the hadith, he will be forced. He will say, no, I'm not interested. He will be, no, you're going to be. He will say, no, I'm not interested. So the fact that you claim it, this by itself refutes that you are that person. But al-Mahdi, the Sunnah says that the Muslims and Bani al-Asfar, Yoruban, you know, the Christians in general, they will fight a common enemy. They will have a common enemy, one enemy. Actually, the Muslims and the West will unite to fight an enemy. Now, don't say which one, we don't know. And then, after they conquer, a Christian will raise the cross and he will say, the cross has conquered. All of this, by the way, is coming from a lengthy hadith, fi sahih al-Imam Muslim, hadith Abi Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu. Then a Muslim will stand and will say, no. And he will kill the Christian. And this will trigger what is known to be in the biblical accounts, the Battle of Armageddon. But by the way, in our Sunnah, that name is not used. We don't have that name in our Sunnah. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never actually mentioned that name, but he called it a fierce maqtala azima, a fierce killing, that will be a lot of killing, to the extent that the bird flying over the crops of the killed will fall dead because of the stink of the people dead. Yani, one family made of 100 people, they will look, only maybe one is left. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم called it مقتلة عظيمة. And here is how حديث بسير ابن جابر, look at this. هاجت ريح حمراء بالكوفة, Al-Kufa is in Iraq. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion, was there. A sandstorm erupted, a huge one that... A man came running towards Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Busayr ibn Jabir. Yabna Mas'ud, Yabna Mas'ud, qamat al-sa'a. Yabna Mas'ud, qamat al-sa'a. Yabna Mas'ud, the man thought that because of the change in the weather, that this is the hour. The hadith says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was reclining, he was resting, and he sat, just to show you the importance of knowledge, and he looked at him in a confident manner, and then he pointed, he's in Iraq now, he pointed towards Isham, the greater Syria, and he said, not yet, the hour will not come yet. And then he started narrating what he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aduun, a huge army will gather to fight the Muslims in the greater Syria, in that place. The place where there is that, you know, that caliph was declared and all this stuff is very interesting, you know. if you look at the, but again, you never know. That there, you know, this is the action. This is where the action will be in Syria and in that particular area, Lebanon, and what's happening in that area there. So, an army will come to fight the Muslims. Simply, the Muslims will win that battle. But after losing a lot of believers. Now, at the end of the battle, towards the end of it, Satan will become so upset, so angry. Then Satan yelled and he said, don't rejoice, فَإِنَّ الدَّجَّالَ قَدْ خَلَفَكُمْ فِي ذَرَارِيكُمْ. The Antichrist broke out of his chains and he's messing up with your families back home. Then Imam al-Mahdi will send 10 horsemen. شوف الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله يا إخوة, I read this hadith. The Prophet says, by Allah, I know their names and the names of their fathers and the color of their horses. الرسول swears. صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهم خير فوارس الأرض يومئذ. And they will be the best horsemen. Basically, Imam al-Mahdi wanting to verify the call which was made towards the end of that battle, whether the Antichrist has broken out of his chains or not, and he will find the information to be correct. So this is how al-Mahdi, again, I'm not explaining al-Mahdi, I'm just giving you a map to understand these signs. Now al-Mahdi became the transitional. That's why he's called the transitional. Because him conquering this battle triggered the Antichrist to break through his basically chains. We believe, very important, and just for your information, we do have a different belief regarding al-Mahdi than the one held by Shi'i Islam. Shi'i Islam, they believe that the final Imam, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari, the final, they believe in the 12 Imams. The final one was a little kid, the year 282 after Hijrah. He went into a tunnel in a city in Iraq called Samarra, and he's still hiding there until we speak, and he will come out of the tunnel, and he's al-Mahdi. Taban, this is a little bit too much sci-fi for us to believe. Just to, in a side note, We believe that Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi is somebody who will be born. And actually, if you read the Sunnah well and you sort out the text, he will be a student in Medina. We started yesterday talking about the signs of the day of resurrection, and we mentioned that a Muslim should not worry himself with the with finding out when the day of resurrection will be, but a Muslim is allowed to study and explore the signs which were revealed in the Quran and the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the signs of the day of resurrection. And we understand this from hadith Jibreel alayhi salam, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the hour? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him by saying, the one who is being asked doesn't know any better than the one who is asking. As if we don't know that. Both of us, you are the one entrusted with revelation in the heavens, and I'm the one entrusted with revelation in earth, have no access to this knowledge. Then immediately Jibreel alayhi salam asked, what are its portents or signs? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam named some of these signs for him. And the importance, if someone may ask, why should we study such things? Why should we study the signs of the hour? What is the wisdom behind it? We can mention actually more than one reason. Reason number one, somehow we were fashioned to be curious. The human beings are very curious. They like to know the unseen. They like to know about tomorrow. This is why some Muslims end up going to fortune tellers, people who read the palms, or every culture developed its own horoscopes. Sometimes you simply go to a Chinese restaurant to get the fortune cookie and just enjoy reading that little message that you get. So instead of occupying yourself with such untrue things, because in reality the only one who knows the unseen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here you have text, divine revelation, Quran and Sunnah, about things that will happen in the future. Why don't you just study that? Why don't you learn about it? Also, you know, in sometimes when you see things unfolding which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold 1400 and plus years ago, it increases your faith. It does increase your certainty. When, for example, you read hadith in Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Kilabi regarding the place where Prophet Isa alayhi salam will descend. You know, when Isa alayhi salam returns to earth, he will descend in Damascus near the White Minaret. I mean, the White Minaret was not built until the time of Ibn Kathir, 700 years later. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with such a detailed description of something that is to happen in the future. You know that the spread of adultery, how is so obvious to everybody right now, the spread of usury. So again, to make the point that it does increase your certainty, your faith, your yaqeen. When you see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us things which would happen in the future. Add to this, there are certain things that we must learn because there are religious rulings related to it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told us about the Antichrist and the duration of time he will spend on earth, he said, how many? 40 days. The first day will be as long as what? 1 year. So the first day is going to be as long as 1 year. Now, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the question, what will we do regarding the salah? Will we just pray 5 times in 1 year? That's a religious ruling. So what should you do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اقدروا له قدره. No. You're going to count how many hours between each salah and you're going to keep repeating during the year. So you're going to end up praying regular salah. So every 24 hours, you're going to end up praying 5 times. So that's a religious ruling. That is a religious ruling. One of the things, another example, one of the things which Prophet Isa alayhi salam will do when he descends, يَضَعُ الْجِزْيَةَ. What does it mean, يَضَعُ الْجِزْيَةَ? Abolish the jizya. The jizya is a tax which is collected from Christian and Jews living in a Muslim state. Of course, it is the responsibility of the Muslim state to protect the Jews and the Christians living within its boundaries. Not only to protect them, rather to protect their shrines, their churches and synagogues. And they don't even have to fight if the Muslims are attacked. They don't have to risk their lives. In return, they pay a tax. It's called jizya. Now, when Prophet Isa alayhi salam descends, he is not going to accept this anymore. Meaning, Islam or die. That's what we read. Now it's a religious ruling for any Muslim state that you cannot force Christian and Jews to accept your religion. The only one who will abrogate that ruling will be who? Prophet Isa. But us? No, we can't. You're a Christian, you're a Jew living in an Islamic state, welcome, no problem. We'll protect you, you're free to worship, will protect your synagogues, your churches. You don't even have to fight if we get attacked. You don't have to risk your lives. We're going to go and actually fight and protect you, but in return, you pay this tax. So again, the point I'm trying to make, religious rulings are associated with some of the things which are signs of the hour. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? Regarding handling the fitna of the Antichrist, what should we do? When you learn that he is in South Plainfield, what should you do? What? Book a one-way ticket to Cairo. I mean, I don't know why why Cairo, but just go somewhere else. That's a religious ruling. Don't go to him. He's going to get to you. The guy is so convincing. So convincing. Don't think that you can, you know, stand there without being, tuftan, yani, without him getting to you. These are religious rulings. We mentioned yesterday that the scholars have categorized the signs of the hour into minor and major. Minor and major signs. One section is the minor. One section are the majors, and the major are 10 signs. But the minor signs, they ended up also dividing them into 3 groups. Group number one, we mentioned these signs which happened and finished, over. We mentioned amongst them the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the conquest of Jerusalem during the reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu an, the year 23, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, after Hijrah, when he went and he was handed over the keys of Jerusalem in person, and he refused to pray in one of the churches because he's afraid that Muslims are going to take it over from the Christians. Just to show you the tolerance of Islam once it comes to this area. And the plague of Amwas, Ta'un Amwas, which happened the year 25 after Hijrah. So this group already finished. The second group, it happened and still happening as we speak, but in a greater magnitude. In a greater magnitude. Adultery, killing, earthquakes, cheating, deceiving, the spread of trade, trading, market, to the extent that you can sell and buy in one click is amazing. The spread of paper, the newspaper, the media, and so forth. So these are still happening and they are growing. The last group, there is really one sign left so far, because the second sign, they really given it a very special title to be the transitional sign. But the sign that is left so far, it did not happen. The Euphrates, the river in Iraq, disclosing a mountain of gold. There is a mountain of gold in the Euphrates, and somehow the water will dry, that mountain will be out there, and people will kill one another for it. To the extent that out of 100, one person, and each one of them wants to win that gold. What should we do? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't come near it. Don't come near it. Don't try to take from it. Again, that's another religious ruling. Of course, Ikhwa, I want to warn you that when the Iraqi war happened, when the United States went to Iraq, a lot of the people said, okay, that's the sign then. I don't know if you remember this or not. When they initially they went there, they called it Operation Iraqi Liberation, something like that. So what is the letters here for this? What? You know, when you take the first letter from each word, so you end up with what? Oil. So they changed that. They changed something else. Let's call it Operation Iraqi Freedom. So you end up with OIF instead of OIL. But in general, the hadith says gold. A lot of the people, they say, well, the oil is the black gold. That's not how we handle text in Islam. That's not how we deal with revelation. If the word says gold, khalas, it's gold. You cannot take it to another meaning when the obvious meaning, apparent meaning is there. Unless you have an evidence. Unless the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you this is what is meant by it. But we'll go into the transitional sign. And this is, by the way, all of this review, we're reviewing from yesterday. Those who are following, we're still reviewing. We still haven't gone into what we want to say today. The transitional sign is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi. Why he is called the transitional sign? Because when he appears, that means the Antichrist will appear towards the end of his mission, basically. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that towards the end of time, And after injustices have filled earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send somebody from my family, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His first name matches my first name. His last name matches my last name. He will fill earth with justice after it has been filled with injustice. Now, be careful, because Shi'i Islam have their own version of al-Mahdi. Shi'i Islam, they believe in the 12 imams, and they believe the last imam, his name is Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari. The year 292 after Hijrah, he disappeared in a tunnel in a city in Iraq called Samurra, and he has with him the correct Quran, and he will come out towards the end of time. They actually believe that. That's their belief, Shi'i Islam. And they are waiting for al-Mahdi. They are waiting for him to come out of that tunnel. We don't believe that at all. We actually believe that this is somebody who will be born from Quraysh, from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who doesn't even know himself. And I want to warn you, shaitan comes and plays games with a lot of the minds of Muslims. Shaitan comes to you, you know, you're al-Mahdi, you're al-Mahdi, and it tries to play games on you. Be careful. The fact that you claim, and I mean, how many people were killed 20 years ago in al-Haram? Anybody remembers? Somebody actually went into Mecca, into al-Haram, and he claimed to be al-Mahdi? And so many people were killed, because he had actually had followers, had people who follow him. And they fought the police there, and they ended up killing a lot of hujjaj. So the Da'a al-Mahdawiyya, claiming it has been a trend from a long time. So be careful. Be careful, because shaitan may play that game with you. So many times we get people coming into and calling in, I'm al-Mahdi, you know. I'm the awaited. I got it. You know, it's like, okay. You know, welcome. Be careful. There is a mention when we read the Sunnah regarding the battle which the Christians and the Jews are so consumed with, and they give it the name Armageddon. Even the Hollywood, they produced a couple of pictures regarding this battle. First of all, the name Armageddon never been mentioned in our Sunnah. But the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the place where this battle will take place. He called it Marj Dabiq. Marj Dabiq. There is, you know, a similar, you can tell that is the location in Syria. And this is where this battle will take place between the Muslims and the West in particular. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the Muslims and the West will fight a common enemy. Who is that enemy? Allah knows best. But somehow, the interests of the Muslims and the West will come together in fighting one enemy. Then after this battle is done, somehow the conflict will begin between the Muslims and the West. And the West will gather in that place under 80 flags. يَجْتَمِعُونَ تَحْتَ ثَمَانِينَ غَايَةً هذا هو اللفظ. Meaning 80 countries. And each country will provide 20,000. So you can imagine the mass here, the number. So 20,000 times 80 is what? Who can do the math? 80,000 times 80. 60? I think more than that. It's a lot of people, a lot of army. By the way, interesting, fighting will take place using swords and horses. Listen, we believe it. I believe it. I'm certain about it. How? Allah knows best what will happen to energy, what will happen to airplanes, Apaches. But fighting these days will be with swords and horses. No more airplane. And we read the hadith, the sunnah, it says that. We must believe that. Don't try to interpret it. It's going to happen in this manner. Ishad, or the important thing, that at the end of the battle, the Muslims will finally conquer. The Muslims will defeat the West in that battle. And now, the Antichrist, Shaitan somehow will be so upset that he will yell with a loud voice, "Don't rejoice, because the Antichrist is already loose and he's messing around with your family members and with your homes back where you come from." And I like, Ikhwa, so much the wording of Imam Muslim, Hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and I think that is where I stopped last time, that a man came to Ibn Mas'ud when he was in Al-Kufa, and he was yelling because there was like a sandstorm. And he said, Ya Ibn Mas'ud, لقد قامت الساعة. Ya Ibn Mas'ud, the hour is here. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, with a very relaxed, confident tone, he looked at him and he said, إنها لن تقوم حتى لا يقسم ميراث ولا يفرح بغنيمة. The hour will not come until that the inheritance will not be distributed, nor people will rejoice because of a win. Will rejoice or be happy because they conquered. And then he referred to that. He said, Adu, he pointed to the east, from Iraq, that would be the east, right? He pointed to the east, to the west from Iraq, so he pointed this way, and he said, Aduun li ahli al-Islam, yajma' lahum, and he pointed to the extent that there will be so much killing that a bird would fly over the crops of those who were killed, and because of the smell will fall down dead. Now, at the end of the battle, you're supposed to be happy and joyful because you conquered, but immediately you hear that call that the Antichrist is basically out messing around with the Muslims, in where you come from. With this, we go into the major signs of the day of resurrection. The major signs were mentioned in one hadith. Hadith Hudayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari, wal hadith fi sahih al-Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he came to the masjid and he found his companions studying the sunnah. قالوا ما تذاكرون, what are you studying? قالوا يا رسول الله, they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, نتذاكر الساعة, we're studying the hour. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إنها لن تأتي, the hour will not come, حتى ترون قبلها عشر آيات, until you see 10 signs. And he mentioned Ad-Dab, the beast, Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist, Ad-Dukhan, the smoke, Nuzulu Isa ibn Maryam, the second coming of Isa alayhi salam, Gog and Magog, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, that is 5, wa tulu'u ash-shamsi min maghribiha, and the sun rising from the west, wa thalathu khusuf, and 3 landslides, 3 earthquakes, major earthquakes, khasfun bil mashriq, one in the east, khasfun bil maghrib, one in the west, wa khasfun bi jazirat al-arab, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. And the last of the signs, نَارٌ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ تَطْرُدُ النَّاسَ إِلَى مَحْشَرِهِمْ. A fire which will come out of Yemen will expel people to their place of gathering. Now this hadith, even so, it does list the 10 major signs, but it does not list their sequence. Actually, in Sahih Muslim, the same narrator, Hudayfa ibn Asid, Imam Muslim compiled another hadith for him with the 10 signs, but in a different sequence. So the hadith does not indicate what will come first. There is no which one or what which will come first. Even he started with the dabba, the beast. So now the individual reasoning of al-ijtihad al-ulama, the scholars, one of the best pieces is the work of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani regarding this matter. Sahib al-Fath, the one who authored Fath al-Bari ala Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, these 10 signs are two groups. One group will happen before the other. And look how he spilled it. He really did his job, his work is condoned by a lot of the scholars. They consider it the best in figuring out the sequence of these signs. He said, the first group will begin with the Antichrist. Then the Antichrist will trigger the second coming of Prophet Isa. And that will trigger Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, because those are related. And this is the first group, because we read that when Prophet Isa alayhi salam comes down to earth and he kills the Antichrist, and at his time also all other religions except Islam will perish, also the sign of corruption in earth represented in those two tribes, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, will perish, then earth will experience its best years. And we read a lot of hadith that life will be dandy, if I may use the word dandy, during his time. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, peace. Even if you read the Christian literature, the Bible, the book of Revelation, they tell you that the boy will be playing with the snake. The wolf will be guarding the sheep. That means there is peace in earth. But again, the difference between Christians and us regarding the second coming of Isa, they believe that his second coming is after or on the day of judgment, that he's going to come back to judge. No, we believe that his second coming is before the day of judgment. He is the sign for the hour. But Christians, they believe that he will come. When he returns, that means judgment day is here. He will establish, he will raise the dead again, and he will establish judgment. So the first group, the Antichrist, Prophet Isa, and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, after that peace in earth, then comes in the second set, which will begin with the sun rising from the west. Then the beast, then the last of the signs, which is Nar, the fire which will erupt out of Yemen, which will expel people to their land of gathering. So we have so far 6. What about the 4? He said they will happen in between. Allah knows best. The smoke, the earthquakes could happen in between these 3 signs. These 2 groups could happen, during the Antichrist and so forth. So let's today, inshallah, try to deal with the Antichrist, the second coming of Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. We mentioned that Al-Mahdi is called a transitional sign because the declaration that the Antichrist is out there will be made during his time. And we read also in the same hadith, hadith Abi Hurairah, fi Sahih al-Imam Muslim, that Imam al-Mahdi will send 10 horsemen to verify the announcement which was made, whether it is legitimate or not. And we read that it will be legitimate, that the Antichrist will be out. Who is the Antichrist? Someone, subhanallah, who exists as we speak. He is alive. And he is chained in an island. A very legitimate argument. A minute ago, Sheikh, you refuted, you looked at how Shia'i Islam believe that there is somebody hiding in a tunnel since the year 292 after Hijrah. And now you're telling me that Antichrist is hiding in an island somewhere. So how would you justify that? I mean, it's a good argument, certainly. How you justify that? Because that's, when we debate with Shia Islam regarding their belief, that point comes up. And it's, you have to respond. So how do you justify it? To the Antichrist, yeah. Very simple. By default, everyone must die. You know, after a certain number of years, you are to die. But now, there are people, we read that, who are exempt. There are creations of Allah. Let's not use the word people. Creation of Allah. Let me ask you, do jinn die or not? Jinn, you know jinn, right? The race of Satan. Do they die or not? Yes, في حديث ابن عباس في كتاب التوحيد صحيح البخاري رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم O Allah, I call upon you, you do not die, and الجن والإنس يموتون. Jinn kind and mankind do die. طيب, what about Satan? Isn't Satan a jinni? How come he's still alive? Because Allah made him an exception. Satan doesn't die. You know Satan, the guy who refused to bow down to... I mean, I don't know if I should call him a guy, but... he's chained now. He's not going to harm me. Huh? he's alive. He never died. He's out there and he's doing his... That's why he's very experienced with the human. You know, we recycle. I mean, can you imagine the resume of Satan? I mean, if you list his achievements since, I mean, out of this world. I mean, so Satan is alive. Likewise, this man, the Antichrist, we do have a text that establishes that he is alive. In Hadith Tamim al-Dari, a famous hadith, a Christian actually, someone who used to be a Christian, and he accepted Islam, and he came and he told the Prophet ﷺ the story that he was with some 30, 40 people sailing on a ship, and somehow they lost control of the ship. The ship went into an island. They got off because they needed food. And an animal with a lot of hair told them there is a man out there in that cave waiting for you, especially when he learned that they are Arabs. So they went to him and they found somebody shackled in his chains. Like, you know, when you have the hands to your neck and to your feet. And he asked Tamim al-Dari a series of questions. He actually asked, there was the Prophet sent, Muhammad sent. He said, yeah, then it's my time is coming up, looks like. And then he asked, is the palm trees of that place? So he actually was given some signs. So he's going to break through these chains at this time, and he's going to come out. He's a very ugly looking creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read that his feet are very, what do you call these feet when the legs that bow look like a bow legs? Huh? Yeah, club foot, right, like this, and he's very convincing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place in his power a lot to test us. And that goes, ya ikhwa, to the brothers. Sometimes we get deceived by these, people who look like mashayikh, and they end up doing some sci-fi for you, so you end up kissing the hand, barakah, and all that, you're worshipping them. Look at the Antichrist. The Antichrist will say to the heavens, rain. And the rain will come down. And when he breaks through, by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare earth for him. Warad fi Mustadrak al-Hakim that 3 years before he breaks out of his chains, Allah will command earth to withhold third of its vegetation and will command the heaven to withhold third of its rain. The second year before his breaking, the second third. The year before he breaks, no food, no water in earth. The Sahaba looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are we going to eat then? He said, the nutrition of the Muslims will be subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tasbih wa tahleel. That's going to be your food. You're just going to feed your spirit. A lot of you, by the way, don't pay attention that when you are, your dhikr actually does increase your health. And we read this hadith and we don't pay attention to the essence of it. That Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she couldn't handle taking care of the horse and doing the homework, the housework, and so she said to her father, why didn't you send somebody to serve me, to relieve me from the work? And it's a lot of work, a lot of physical work, and my body is not handling it. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to her house at night, and she found her and Ali radiallahu an Ali in bed. He sat in between them and he said to her, Ala adulluki ala khayrin min khadim. Can I tell you something that you do is much better than someone to help you that will increase your physical? Before you go to sleep, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. What is the relationship between her request and what he provided her? That tells you that dhikr grant you power. Shahid, this is going to be the food of the Muslims. This man will be cruising earth. Look at the description of the sunnah. كَالْغَيْثِ إِسْتَدْبَرَتْهُ الرِّيحِ. Like the rain driven by wind. He's so quickly cruising earth. His job is to get people to worship him. And he would deceive the people. Jinn will be his helpers. He would tell the individual, listen, if I bring your father back to life, your father is dead. If I bring your father back to life, will you believe that I'm Allah? Sure. So a jinni will take on the form of his father. Here is your father. And the father will say to the son, شوف fitna, fitna عجيبة. ولذلك يقول لك ما no fitna since the creation of Adam until the day of resurrection greater than this fitna. And the prophets, by the way, you know, when we, a lot of you may be amazed and say, Sheikh, what are you talking about? This will not even happen in our time. Imagine that Prophet Nuh warned his people, his followers, regarding the Antichrist. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the Antichrist will emerge, will come out, when people do not talk about him anymore on the pulpit. Like people say, man, this is nuts. That is actually when his time, when people don't even mention him. He will have to his right, in some of the wording, a mountain of bread and meat. So he's going to come and, you know, offer you solutions, financial solutions. Starvation, but I want your religion, and I want trade your deen in, and you get what you want, you get life. The Prophet ﷺ told us what to do. He said that if you can make it to Mecca and Medina, is the safest place in earth. But again, that statement may invite that everybody who's living in Mecca and Medina are righteous and pious. Not necessarily. We actually read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause earth to shake in those two cities. Earthquake, yani. And the hypocrites will run away. Will exit. And only the believers, the true believers, will stay in those two towns. But the hypocrites will be scared, and they will actually leave the two cities, and they will be hunted by the Antichrist as well. So the Antichrist is his mission, or his objective is to destroy Mecca and Medina, because he believes that this is the two holy cities for Muslims, and you know we gotta take care of them. And even when you hear in the West these days, a lot of the, you know, anti-Muslim politicians, the people who do not like Muslims at all, they always speak like this, we're going to go and bomb Mecca. You know, they make that statement sometimes. You know, when they want to give the Muslims a hard time, we're going to go and bomb Mecca. It's like the Antichrist. The Antichrist want to go. Mecca is the place. Medina is the place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting those two cities. They are protected by angels. He will not be allowed to enter. Now, where is al-Mahdi? The final stages of freeing Jerusalem, subhanallah ya ikhwah, is amazing. As we speak about this subject, and the Muslims in Palestine are going through what they are going through. Al-Mahdi was about to free Jerusalem from Bani Israelia. That is when the Antichrist will come in their support. So when he gives up the fact that he will go and enter those two cities, he will proceed immediately to Jerusalem to wipe away al-Mahdi and his army and kill the believers there. Subhanallah, when he arrives, the Muslim army under the leadership of al-Mahdi will realize that we cannot fight those. I mean, the guy has a huge army. All these powers that he got. So they will barricade themselves. They will build barricades so that they he will not be able to attack them. But subhanallah, Allah sends the relief, the mercy. Prophet Isa alayhi salam will descend then. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that he will descend in Damascus, east of Damascus, near the white minaret. And immediately he will proceed to Jerusalem. And look at this scene and the description. And he will arrive at a time of Fajr like this. The Muslims are about to pray Fajr. The Iqama is made. And the Imam is Imam al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi, is about to lead the Salah. And he would spot Prophet Isa alayhi salam walking into the masjid. He will recognize him. He knows it's in the Sunnah. He would recognize his description. The Rasul described him. He will say to him, Taqaddam, Ya Rawhallah, come forth, Spirit of Allah, lead us in Salah. He will say, no. Laka uqimat, one of the wording, the iqama was made for you. Another wording, you are an ummah, that always there is an imam amongst you. Another wording, I'm not here to lead. This is really symbolic for us that alayhi salatu wassalam, Prophet Isa is not bringing a new religion. He is coming to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you look at the part one, if I may use that concept here, of his message, he didn't really bring something new. He said, وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَةِ, I came confirming what came before me from the Torah to begin with. So I'm coming to teach the Torah, which was given to Prophet who? So he came confirming what? As a follower of who? Of Musa alayhi salam, but I will make some adjustment. وَلُؤْحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, to make lawful some of the things which were made unlawful for you. Likewise, he will come to confirm the Quran. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, in part two, confirming what came before me from the Quran. Rather, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what he will do exactly. He will kill the Antichrist. He will destroy the cross. He will kill the swine. And we mentioned those two are not like, he's not going to run after each cross here. He's not going to run after each swine here. No. The fact he's telling the Christians that I never made khinzir lawful. That's why Jews do not eat pork, supposedly, the practicing Jews. Likewise, Christians should not be been eating pork. Because Prophet Isa is telling them, I never made pork lawful for you. The cross, the formula of crucifixion is unreal. I'm back, here I am, I'm alive. I never been killed, I never been crucified. So the whole thing, the whole formula of salvation that Jesus Christ died in the cross for your sins is not accurate. And he will abolish the jizya like we mentioned. No more religions except Islam, and he will rule according to the Sharia. And this is very interesting when we debate with the Christians and they tell us, in an attacking fashion, that you guys are here in America to establish the Sharia. We tell them, listen, I don't think we're going to be able to establish the Sharia, but inshallah, Prophet Jesus will come and and establish it. They look at you like you're crazy. That you believe that Prophet Isa is the one who's going to apply the Sharia in America. Prophet Isa is going to apply the Sharia in America. Imagine you're debating with Christians. I mean, It's really, you have to be very sensitive sometimes when you tell these things, because for them, you guys are out of your minds. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's why, subhanAllah, I never been able to grasp the secret of Allah commanding us when we debate with them, we must be very nice. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنٍ. Why? Because really what you have, imagine Christianity. Christianity is based on what is known to them to be the crucifixion. That's Christianity, the crucifixion. The formula for salvation, that Isa was put in the cross for your sins. You come as a Muslim, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُ. Ya Habibi, they killed him not, they crucified him not. You tell a Christian that. So a Christian, every Sunday, he goes to the Sunday school. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That's why when you sit, you know, we don't believe that he was crucified. Really? You guys don't believe that? Yeah. So you gotta say it in a very nice way, Yani, because it's smashing them. Tayyib, are you tired? I'm tired. Shall we finish tomorrow, inshallah, the Antichrist with Prophet Isa? Because those three, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, inshallah, we'll finish them tomorrow. Come on, say inshallah. Inshallah. You're going to show up tonight for our 27th night of the month? Inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we'll finish tomorrow the three, how Prophet Isa will kill the Antichrist, and then the fact Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out, and how we'll take care of that, and how earth will go into a break from trials and tribulations, and some of the wording for 1,000 years. Yani the best years when Prophet Isa is in earth. Yani if we can live through the trials before him, we're going to have fun. Wallahi, it's going to be a lot of fun when he's in earth. You know, that's what Islam gives, you know, hope. Even so, the curve is going so much down, but we're still at least living for a hope that it will go back up. You know, the killing will stop and peace will be in earth. This is something nice. And actually, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's so important to study that stuff, because he actually left a message. He said that, I wish, Rasul ala fikra, by the way, he said, I wish I live to experience that. He said that. I wish I live until Prophet Isa is here, so I enjoy life during his time. Because it's amazing. It tells you that the man will be touring, going around with his zakatul mal, the zakah, looking for somebody poor to accept it. Can you please accept my zakah, take my money, please? He said, no, I don't need your money. Go find, I'm not poor. To that extent. So he said, actually, I wish I can live, or I get to live, until Prophet Isa comes back. But if I am to die, please, any of you who meets him, convey my salam to him. So actually, you have a message to convey. And if you don't meet Prophet Isa, then you have to teach it to your children, so they do convey the message. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين.